Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, religion in the coming age. Before we get started, I just want to say that later on in the show, we have a special offer for you, so I hope you'll pay attention to us when we explain that special offer. And also, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust is the organization that sponsors this show, and also the main inspiration that you hear for the dialogue on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and all that literature really is the basis for our discussions, as is the following thought, which is also from Alice Bailey. Today, slowly, the concept of a world religion and the need for it are widely desired. The fusion of faiths is now a topic of discussion. It is a task of loving synthesis and will emphasize the unity and fellowship of the Spirit. Does Alice Bailey mean that in the future all people everywhere will belong to one religious faith?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, I think that would be a shame, because part of the richness of the human tapestry is the variety of approaches to God. If we think of God as the one, then it follows that all the manifested world is an expression of that one, but in an incredible diversity and array of levels of significance and a variety of expression. That means inevitably that religion, which exists on the outer level, is going to be varied and diversified. It's only normal and inevitable. But I think of religious differences as resembling a pair of glasses. Those of us who wear glasses all have different prescriptions enabling us to look out at the world. There's no one pair of glasses that serves everybody, and there's no one religion that would serve everybody, because we are all coming to our view of the world and interpreting it through religion according to our own history and experience and national temperament and psyche, as well as our personal level of evolution. But I don't think that all these different practices should become blinders. They shouldn't be separating walls. A true Christian sees all people in the light of Christ, Christians and non-Christians alike. And a good Jew judges all people by the laws of Torah. And a true Buddhist views everyone with compassion, because those are fundamental aspects of their religious faith. And the religions themselves provide a lens through which to understand humanity and to interpret and explain the human experience and the human makeup. Sin, I think, enters in when these religious differences become a means of separation.
And that's been one of the great drawbacks, I think, of the religious expressions that have grown up in the past centuries, for the past 2,000 years or so. They have tended to separate people and cause great schisms between people. And so it's not following the simple law of love as expressed by Christ and the compassion expressed by the Buddha, for example. They have tended to see their own religious expression as the only path.
And they are willing to go to war over it.
Right. And there have been many wars, religious wars, and those are the most difficult kinds to deal with, because they go right to the root of what a person thinks and feels and believes.
Yeah, the religious beliefs that one holds cut really deep, and I suppose that's why the religious wars are the most brutal. We look at Ireland and the Middle East, Israel, Sri Lanka. They are willing to kill any number of people for their faith. It makes no sense, and yet it's an utter reality.
Well, it's kind of a slap in the face of God, meaning that people, God-fearing, that are out there waging war. So, I mean, it goes against everything that these religions are supposed to be teaching us.
Don't you suppose part of it's the fundamental human need to be right? The desire to say that whatever one's viewpoint is, one's idea of truth, that is fundamental and absolutely right. And the word fundamental is key to understanding this whole problem, because we're seeing a growth in fundamentalism in the religious sense throughout the world, especially in the Islamic and Christian religions, where people are sort of drawing a line in the sand and saying, beyond this line I will not go and you will not go either. And that's very scary, because I don't think we have the right to impose that kind of rigid self-confidence in our views on anyone else. And this is how fundamentalism is helping religion to become a force to divide people and to actually foster hatred.
And that's why we need a new expression of religion, to not to set up another religion of the like kind or a similar nature, but a spiritual expression that transcends, or that is based on basic principles. We need to get back to the basic spiritual principles enunciated by Christ and by the Buddha and by Moses and by Muhammad, for that matter.
Well, we think we're doing that, apparently, in this society, with all the recent talk about moral values. We think we're going back to the essential principles, but I'm not so sure, because these moral values that keep being brought up as a basis for decisions such as the recent election can actually serve to divide us. There's a difference between moral values and real elements of belief. If we say a spiritual value is something that joins us to our fellow man and that unites us with the whole of life, then we can use that definition and apply it to all aspects of our faith. If it is used to divide us from others, I don't think it stands the test of true spirituality.
No, absolutely. It's in there again. It's using the law of separation to prove a point, to follow the path of one single point of view as being the only path. And this is the great sin that, essentially, it's the great sin against God, because separateness is the fundamental sin against God.
Don't you think this might be related to the outgoing sixth ray?
Yeah, yes, of course that is. I mean, we've talked about this sixth ray influence before, and it's the end of an old age.
Of 2,000 years, governed by a ray of idealism and devotion that has accomplished great good, but we are seeing the lower aspects of it as it wanes. Mm-hmm. And the new age begins to come in.
And that old age has, the sixth ray has a name to it, and it's called the ray of idealism. And that's certainly what we've seen in the past 1,000 years arising up from human expression, is the tremendous amount of ideals that have been expressed, and including all the religious ideals.
And the fanaticism of being willing to die for those ideals or to kill others for them.
And it says that at the end of an age of this 2,000-year period, that when we draw to a close, the lowest expressions tend to be expressed most violently, perhaps. It's kind of the last-ditch effort of those who are influenced by this ray to make their mark and to gain some foothold. And I suppose if you can take it in the broadest sense, they're doing what they need to do for their own advancement, and that's good in a way, but it does make it very difficult for the rest of us in the world.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, religion in the coming age. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that is the book by Ellis Bailey, the title of which is Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Ellis Bailey. It was one of the first books that I read because, well, I liked it because I really got an overview, and I saw little topics in there that were of priority to me, of special interest, and I knew that those were the topics I wanted to explore in greater depth with the other volumes. So I think you might enjoy starting off with that. It's available for $16, and the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. In order to get the book for $16, though, you do have to mention that you heard it on Inner Sight. And if you'd like the book, Ponder on This, send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Also, if you'd like a general package of information telling you about Lucis Trust, whether it's to order books, cassette tapes, radio shows, a schedule of meditation meetings, or if you just want to know more about Lucis Trust, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. All that information that you might want to know is all in the general package of information, so please ask for it. The easy way to remember the phone number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And also in regard to ponder on this, you might want to consider also that there are excerpts about the topic that we're discussing today, religion in the coming age, and you'll find some good information in Ponder on This about today's topic. Also, please continue supporting us as you haven't done, as you've done in the past. We appreciate your support and hope you continue to send in donations. That's what really keeps us on the air. So if you'd like to give us further financial support, please do so. Send your donations. By the way, they're tax-deductible donations. Send them to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Our website, www.lucistrust.org, and that's where you can find our previously archived library of radio shows, and I think you'll enjoy. I was wondering about the topic today, religion in the coming age, and we're talking about unity, which would be a wonderful way if we can have unity amongst all of mankind in the form of religion. That would really be a major catalyst to peace. But what are some of the commonality of values or beliefs that maybe people could agree on that would cause that might cause that type of agreement where people could say, well, yes, we all believe in the following precepts. Are there any that you could think of?
Yes, the writings of Ellis Bailey say that there are three fundamentals of belief that unite all people of faith. One is a belief in God, by whatever name they know the One, a belief that this divinity is both transcendent, greater and surpassing the manifested world, and imminent, present within all aspects of the manifested world. And that there is a possibility for the human being to make an approach to this divinity, to God, to the One, through spiritual practices such as prayer or meditation and ritual. And another fundamental of all religious beliefs in the coming era will be a realization of the divine quality of forces in nature and in the individual human being, and the ability that man, as the middle mediating kingdom, which we've talked about in the past, has to wield these forces for the good of the world, and particularly for the upliftment and advancement of the lower kingdoms, animal, vegetable, and mineral. And the third aspect is the fact that humanity as a whole is an expression of divinity. And I think this realization is an aspect of the coming seventh ray. We've mentioned that the past age has been ruled by the sixth ray of idealism and devotion, which has descended into a kind of fanaticism. And the coming age will be governed by the seventh ray of the fusion of spirit and matter, which means that the human being and all aspects of the natural world are in potential an expression of divinity because they were created by God. That overcomes all tendencies to hatred, to separation, to dividing oneself from others.
And I think another word that needs revamping or rethinking is the word spiritual, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes.
Because that has become kind of... How should I say it? It's become taken over by the religious ideals that spiritual somehow means only religion, when it doesn't. I mean, it implies, in fact, the ageless wisdom teachings do define spiritual as being it's being that which drives a human being forward towards some form of development, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or intuitional, or social, if it is in advance of his present state and is essentially spiritual in nature. And it's indicative of the livingness of the inner divine being, the inner divine person. That is what is really spiritual, where there is an expansion of consciousness, an awakening of consciousness to a more expansive view of the world and understanding of the world and your environment, then that is kind of a spiritual movement. It's moving towards spirit.
I think that's why a lot of people who are people of faith, of belief, are apt to think of themselves more as spiritual than as overtly religious. Too often the organized religions have been means of separation among peoples. We've seen that, and we see it still today. And the inclusiveness and the spirituality of people's understanding of themselves and their fellow man and life can't be contained within a religion that thinks it's better and has a larger corner on God than everybody else does. It's the antithesis of this inclusive consciousness. And so we see a growth of spirituality and at the same time a waning of interest in the churches. It isn't necessarily a good thing that the religions die out. I hope that we will always have the beautiful truths of Hinduism and of Buddhism and Judaism and Christianity and Islam. There's great beauty and wisdom in those religions, but it's the present practice and the present expression of those religions as means for condemning some and giving others a special salvation that seems so preposterous in the growing inclusiveness of today's world.
Right. You said a moment ago about it can't contain that
it's spirit. Too small.
Yeah. And that's exactly what, well, that exactly describes it. It's like the chrysalis. The butterfly has to escape from the chrysalis because it can't contain its beauty. Religious expression has to find a new form through which to manifest. And that's what we're struggling with right now, I think. The old is being contained in a very narrow and narrow view of the relationship to God.
I think one example might be the view that many religions give us of the human being, the emphasis on sin and unworthiness and the low, sometimes almost loathsome sense of the human being who has not professed his lowness and his need for God is misunderstood. Humility is a spiritual virtue. It's not only a nice character trait, it's an absolute necessity if you have any sense of identification with the larger whole. You are inevitably made humble by a realization of the vastness of the planetary life and your tiny little self within it. But the religion of the future will take this realization that the human being is very small and expand it into a realization that each human being is a fragment of the one and that we belong to the one humanity. It's like this gift of the hologram that has been given to us in recent decades. The hologram, as I understand it, is an image of which each part reflects the whole image. You see the whole within every fragment of the image. That is a sense of what I'm trying to say about what the human being is. We are a fragment of the whole, and we're all of us expressions of the one humanity. That naturally is humbling, but it doesn't put the human being in the position of being unworthy and loathsome, which is a view from the past.
No, in fact, it leads to an expansion of one's consciousness. If you can begin to grasp the whole idea that we are part of this one great whole, one whole humanity in the body of God, then it immediately takes you out of yourself and places you in a much broader context, and you realize that you need a much greater, more synthetic expression of this relationship to God in order to build a new form, a new concept through which to express this. And I was just saying, getting back to the seventh ray, that would the seventh ray of order and organization. This in time, this energy, this influence, will by a natural inclination create a new form through which religion can be expressed.
I think one aspect of that new religious consciousness we're seeing more and more in the growing emphasis on service and on group work, because another aspect of the seventh ray, the energy governing the coming age, is our capacity as human beings to have closer cooperation with the plan of God, so that we aren't just pawns in the working out of a divine intention that is inexplicable to us and in the face of which we are helpless, but actually co-creators and cooperators. We are needed, and we have a lot of work to do. This is an aspect of the seventh ray.
And I think as one moves up in consciousness towards higher and higher state of synthesis, then you begin to naturally try to find expressions of synthesis, and we have them already in the religious expressions of today, in the simple pronouncements of Christ, you know, to love thyself and love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's essentially the law of love which he is talking about, and to express this law in your daily life. We have the simple expressions of the Buddha in the to overcome suffering, in the Four Noble Truths, in the Eight Noble Path. So, I mean, it is these basic, simple pronouncements that I think will form the basis for a new religion, perhaps.
The very definition of religion gives us a clue to what we're trying to say. It means, it's from the Latin to bind back, and that expresses, I think, the realization that religion is a path of return to the source. How ironic, then, that it has become a kind of a cleaver, a separating sword that divides us from one another, when in fact it's meant to be a means by which all elements of the outer world are seen as fragments of the whole. And religion ought to be able to do this for us because it deals with universals that are common to the human experience. Suffering, death, mystery, joy, these are things experienced by all human beings. Houston Smith, the great teacher and writer on religion, said, "We are all born in mystery. We live in mystery, and we die in mystery." And he said, "A mystery is that special kind of problem which for the human mind has no solution. The more we understand it, the more we become aware of additional factors relating to it that we don't understand." And that's, I think, what is so deeply human and what makes religion cut so deep. It touches upon the essential mysteries of life.
And speaking of life, one of the essential mysteries that also has to be overcome is the whole mystery of death and what that really is. And I think that's a huge topic that needs to be discussed more and more these days, and it should get an airing.
Well, we've had plenty of death associated with religion in the past millennium. Alice Bailey said that the future war that might come would be the most brutal of all, and that it would focus on religion. And she said it wouldn't necessarily be a religion fought out in blood and death, but on the level of the mind. That's what we see today, the war going on the level of human thought to come to a better understanding. It's an interesting time.
Please take advantage of our special offer, and that's a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that is the Alice Bailey book, the title of which is Ponder on This, a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $16. Send your check on money order to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also today's topic, religion in the coming age, is you can find the section and Ponder on This on that. The free shipping and handling will only happen if you mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. Also, give us a call for any information that you might want at 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.